بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Today we are beginning سورة القارعة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم القارعة The striking event ما القارعة What is the striking event وما أدراك ما القارعة And what may let you know Who may tell you What the striking event is يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث It will happen on a day when people will be like scattered moths وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش and the mountains will be like carded like unraveled wool فأما من ثقلت موازينه then as for him whose scales of good deeds are heavy فهو في عيشة راضية he will be in a happy life وأما من خفت موازينه but he whose scales are light فأمه هاوية his abode will be the abyss the pit وما أدراك ما هي and what may let you know who may tell you What the abyss, what the pit is, narun hamia, a blazing fire. In Surah Al-Qari'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again discusses the Day of Judgment. And he starts by saying Al-Qari'ah, the striking event. Now the striking event is the name of the Day of Judgment. The resurrection, Qiyamah, resurrection, that's one name. Deen, Ad-Deen, Maliki Yawmiddin. In the verse Maliki Yawmiddin, the word Deen doesn't mean religion. It means recompense, reckoning. So Deen, another name for the Day of Judgment, Yawmuddin. Another name is Al-Qari'ah, the striking event. Qari'ah means to strike something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Qiyamah the striking event. Why does he call it the striking event? Number one, because of the ulama have said it will strike people's hearts. It will mean people's hearts will become overcome with fright, with shock. Except those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the striking event. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he proclaims Al-Qari'ah, meaning this is what is going to be discussed. Then he says, Mal-Qari'ah, what is the striking event? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala posing a question there? He's basically telling us that this is something worth asking about. This is something you should know about. A question is being posed about you, meaning it's an important topic. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the third verse, he goes on to say, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةَ What may let you know, who could tell you about what the striking event is? What this third verse is actually saying, it's a rhetorical question. It's basically trying to say, how could you possibly comprehend the reality of the striking event? Meaning, until you see the Day of Judgment, words cannot capture the description and the reality of the Day of Judgment. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for our benefit, He will place some words in front of us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can say, it's a disclaimer. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةَ Who could possibly tell you in words what the Day of Judgment is like? Meaning the words I had describing the Day of Judgment to you, but it will be the shock, the horror, the confusion on the Day of Judgment will be so much more than these words express. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in short, He explains the Day of Judgment and the recompense. First He says, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ It will happen on the day when people will be like scattered moths. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, on that day, people will be like scattered moths. What does it mean like scattered moths? Number one, there will be a lot of them. The entire creation, from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the final human. All at one time alive. They will be gathered in one place. Number two, they will be all over the place. If you have a large group of moths, they are scattered around. And number three, they will look a moth, a very tiny creature, helpless. In fact, if you look at it, especially if you look at a group of them, they look somewhat confused, just going here and there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the insan will, his condition will be the same on the Day of Judgment. Especially when he wakes up initially, he will be confused. He will look helpless. That is the condition of insan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have described the condition of the rest of the makhluk as well. But it's a short surah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sufficed on describing the condition of one of the largest and the firmest things we see, which are the mountains. What will be the condition of the mountains on that day? The mountains will be like carded wool. What's carded wool? So carded wool is basically that wool which has, carding is a process which wool undergoes. And through carding, all the knots are removed. So the wool becomes unraveled, you can say, very easy to separate the strands of wool. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the mountains will become like carded wood, meaning because of the resurrection, the trumpet blowing, the mountains will become completely destroyed. And whatever remnants of them there, they will be basically flying around in the air. That will be the effect of the blowing of the trumpet on the mountains. And we have already mentioned in إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا that the, one of the effects of the trumpet will be that insan is resurrected. The other effect will be that everything is destroyed and the earth is completely flat. Nothing on the earth. Because the whole mankind is going to gather to be resurrected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that, you can say, He just paints a picture of it. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to the most important aspect of the Day of Judgment, which is the actual reckoning itself. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ Then as for him whose scales of good deeds are heavy, he will be in a happy life. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ As for the one whose scales are light, his abode will be the abyss. Now on the Day of Judgment, we all know that a'mal, actions will be weighed. And the ulama said, what will happen first is that firstly, iman will be weighed. Iman and kufr. So the first thing that will happen is that belief and disbelief will be weighed. Other actions to one side. Because the person who doesn't have iman, or who doesn't have real iman, iman which is actually considered iman in the eyes of Allah, he doesn't have any right to Jannah at all. He is going to remain in Jahannam forever. So that is the first, you can say, the first distinction that will be done. The first weighing that will be done is, does this person have iman or not? Real iman. That will be the first weighing. In light of that, there will come two groups. After that, a'mal will be weighed. Actions. Good deeds on one side, evil deeds on the other side. Now, of course, the people who don't have iman, because iman is the condition for the acceptance of any amal. If you have an amal but you don't have iman, it's like a fake note. So a fake note looks just like a real note, but when you take it to the bank, they tell you that it's worthless, it doesn't have any value, we can't give you anything in exchange for it. So in the same way, a person doesn't have iman but he has a lot of good amal, then those will not hold any weight on the Day of Judgment. So as for the person who doesn't have iman, then his deeds will also be weighed, but of course his good deeds will not weigh anything. As for those who have iman, the good deeds, the evil deeds will be weighed. Now, when it comes to the weighing of the actions, we understand from these verses that it is not the case that actions will be counted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not count a person's actions, that this person has done this many thousands of good deeds and he has done this many evil deeds, the good deeds are more. Rather, the wording is, the actions will be weighed. Why is this? Because every action, so one is the number of actions a person has done, but every action has a different value. Sometimes one action, one person has performed salah, another person has performed the same salah, but they have a different value as well, they have a different weight as well. Why will they have a different weight? There are three things that decide how valuable or how weighty an action is, a good deed is. Two of those are within your control, and one is not within your control. The first thing that decides how weighty an action will be in the scales is how much sincerity you have. The more sincerity, the more weighty the action. The less the sincerity, the less weighted the action, to a degree that the action may become completely worthless. The second thing that decides how weighty your action is going to be is how close it is to the method shown by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we take the example of salah, two people have performed salah and both of them have done everything farz, wajib, compulsory, so the salah is done. But one person didn't really bother with the sunnats of salah. He didn't really bother making sure his hands are facing the qibla, his fingers are mediumly spaced, etc. He didn't bother making sure his hands are in the right place. So his salah is done. But on the other hand, there is a person who makes sure of all of this. On the Day of Judgment, his one salah will be much more weighty than this person's one salah. It's possible his one salah, depending on the quality, may be more weighty than this person's multiple salah. So a person making sure, number one, of sincerity, and number two, making sure every action he does, he tries to do it as close to the method of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as possible, is a shortcut to do by which a person does a little, but his scales will be very heavy on the Day of Judgment. So these are two things which are within our control. The third factor which is not within our control, but it still decides how weighty the actions are, is how much mujahada you have to go through. This is not within your control. What do I mean? Today I am well, so for me to come to the masjid and perform salah is easy. Tomorrow I am not feeling so well, or I am more tired. That's not within my control. But I have to do more mujahada, don't I? Because of that more mujahada, that action becomes more valuable. So actions will be weighed on the Day of Judgment. So as for him whose scales of good deeds are heavy, he will have a happy life. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ رَاضِيَةٍ. He will have a happy life. رَاضِيَة means a life where he will be pleased. He will be pleased means every single wish of his will be fulfilled. And the ulama have said that عِيشَةِ رَاضِيَةٍ. I don't wish to go into the details of the Arabic language. But the word عِيشَة, it means life. But it means a life that is of one type only. It doesn't have ups and downs. So that means that the person who is in the hereafter, he will have a happy life, but he will have a life that is only happiness and nothing else. In this world, a person can never have this. He has ups and downs. On the day of, in the hereafter, this is what will happen. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. As for those people whose scales are light, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. His abode will be the abyss, the pit. That Hawiya is a name for Jahannam, the pit, the abyss. Because Jahannam is very, very deep. Once the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and they heard a sound of a bolt or something hitting the ground. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, do you know what that sound was? Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, no, Allah and His Rasul know better. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it was a rock, it was a boulder which was cast into Jahannam, but it was cast into Jahannam 70 years ago. And it has just hit the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His power has made us hear it. So that hit the ground, that is the sound right now. So Jahannam is very, very deep. So the one name of Jahannam is the Abyss. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَةً. And what may let you know what the abyss is? Who may tell you, who can possibly tell you what the abyss is? Again, the purpose of this question is that this word, the abyss, the pit, Jahannam, these are names. You cannot comprehend the gravity and the reality of it in words. Only when you see it, you will understand how the reality of it. But in words, Allah Ta'ala is, because we need to know, Narun Hamiya, it is a blazing fire. So this is Surah Al-Qari'ah. And there is just one point which I wish to discuss now, which is that here the scales have been mentioned. So on one side you have, one extreme is those people who don't have iman. So because they don't have iman, the other deeds are useless. So they will have nothing on the Day of Judgment in terms of weight. On the other side are those people who have iman, and with iman they were completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they didn't have evil deeds. If they did have evil deeds, they repented. So those people, the scale of evil deeds will have very little, if anything, and the good deeds will be very, very high. So they will definitely go into Jannah. Between them, there will be many different groups of people. So there will be some people, for example, who have iman and they are mostly obedient to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Maybe 75%, maybe 80% good. Remember this principle. Our aim must always be to be completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our aim. And whenever we slip, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person comes on the Day of Judgment, and there are many reasons for that. We don't wish to go into details, nor do we have time at the moment. But a person, he comes on the Day of Judgment. If he has majority good deeds, so his good scale of good deeds is heavier, then he will also be allowed to go into Jannah. Now the reason, like I said again, and I will go into some detail, not too much though, that you and I, we should never ever have look at ourselves and think, okay, I have this sin in my life, I have that sin in my life, but I think I have majority good in my life. So therefore my scale of good will be heavier, so I will go into Jannah. This should never be a person's thought process. Why? Because number one, I think I have more good in my life. But the reality of how much good a person has in life, how much evil he has in his life, like we said, it's not just the amount that counts, it's weight as well. Sometimes one evil deed can be very weighty, that it can be more weightier than many good deeds. So I may think that, oh, I have more good in my life. On the day of judgment, it turns out I don't. Number two, I am looking at my good deeds, I am looking that I have 80% good in my life. But for that good to hold weight on the day of judgment, it has to be accepted. It has to been done with sincerity. It's possible for some reason or other, because of some error of mine, they are not accepted. Then they will have no weight on the day of judgment. And number three, although a person does not need to be 100% obedient to go into Jannah, if he is 80% obedient or 20%, then he will still go into Jannah. But for a person to be guaranteed death with Iman, he has to be 100% obedient. If he is not 100% obedient, he may get death with Iman, but he is not guaranteed. In light of the Ahadith, we understand that. So a person's aim should always be that I want to be 100% obedient to Allah. Even if there is one wrong in his life, he should not think, oh, it's fine. He should keep repenting, he should try to remove it. So we were saying there are different groups. Similarly, there will be a group that will have exactly 50-50. There will be a group of people on the Day of Judgment that exactly in terms of good deeds and evil deeds, the scales for them will be 50-50. What will happen to them? So between Jannah and Jahannam, there is a place as well. It's called A'raf, and it's mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf in a few verses. And it's a place from which you can see Jannah and you can see Jahannam. So the people whose deeds are equal, they will be made to stay there. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. After some time, He will allow them to go into Jannah. As for those people who had a majority disobedience, they will have to go into Jahannam according to the amount of evil they have in their eye. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wants to, through His grace, He can forgive them. But if He doesn't, and if He decides to be just with them, then they will have to go into Jahannam according to how much evil they have in their life. So a person's aim should always be, I want to become totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the easy method of doing that is repenting constantly. If you can do the greatest sin, if you repent, it will not appear on the scales on the Day of Judgment. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ نَارٌ حَاوِيَةٌ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to behave in such a way that our good scale of good deeds are weighty on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.